let's back up. Let's begin in verse 31. Verse 31 of John chapter 4. In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, or unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that whereupon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. And I'm going to stop with that as my reading lesson tonight. I want to take my text reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to share a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin in verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7 tells us, So then, neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And, you know, brothers and sisters, God's work, you know, tonight, you know, as I share my message with you tonight, and you think about this morning and tonight, and it's like, boy, a preacher keeps telling us what we need to do. No, I'm trying to encourage us about what we need to be doing. You know, we're living in a time that, as everybody says, this is uncertain times. And I realize that throughout history, it's been uncertain times. Every generation has had uncertain times. But the result of uncertain times is that it creates an urgency. It reminds us that, you know, there are things that are more important than the situation that we find ourselves in. And that's kind of what my message is about tonight. And, you know, when we think about God's work, you know, it involves different individuals with varying gifts or abilities that the Lord has equipped us with. And, you know, when we think about the body of Christ and, you know, we think about what Corinthians says about each individual but part of the body, how important it all is, well, that's the truth of God's Word. The body functions best when everybody is using what God has given them in their abilities, working together for a common goal with a common result. And, you know, there's no superstars in this task. You know, man claims or bestows that label on themselves. But there's only to be a team of members that are working together, carrying out their own special roles to get to the conclusion of the matter or what the goal is. And we're all to be useful members of God's team, or as the scripture says, as members of the army of God, setting aside whatever our desires for glory for what we do might be, because that's the total wrong focus. It isn't about what we're doing for God, but it's about that God gets glory as a result of the things that we're doing that He's instructed us to do, that we might be able to reach this world. And, you know, we're not to seek the praise that comes from people or from men. We're to seek the approval that comes from God. And that's the desire of my life, you know. Brother Duane mentioned in his prayer asking God to forgive for failures. You know, we all have failed God in different ways. We either failed God because of something we did that we shouldn't have done, or we failed God because we didn't do something that God wanted us to do. You know, so our goal in life is to seek the approval of God. Now, I understand we want the approval of men too. You've heard me say many times, you know, I want my dad, you know, here I'm 62 years old and I still want my dad's approval, you know, and I want the approval of the church, and I want the approval, you know, we all are seeking approval, but the most important thing is the approval of God. That's what we want in our lives. And my thought for a few minutes tonight is from this portion of God's Word is that of harvest time. And the thought occurred to me as I was reading this week, you know, when is harvest time? You know, we're in that time of the season where harvest is underway. Many things have been harvested already. There are still some things that yet need to be harvested. So when you say, when is harvest time, I would say the answer depends upon what's been planted, right? Things mature and are ready for harvest at many different seasons. Depends on what the crop is and when it was planted and when it was expected to result in maturity that brings about that harvest. But when it comes to the spiritual harvest, that's really what God is talking about here. I believe that harvest can be reaped 365 days out of the year. I'm talking about spiritual harvest. I think a spiritual harvest can be reaped 365 days of the year. And certainly, you know, we put more emphasis on certain times of the year. You know, we put more emphasis on revival time at our church, and that's okay, because that's a special time that we have set aside for a specific, special effort, if you will, to be able to witness during revival time. But I always have to remind and be encouraged that, you know, we should never put limitations on when and what God can do. You know, it's not just 1 week out of the year, but God can work, as I said. He can provide a harvest 365 days out of the year. And this fourth chapter of John, it's really a chapter of surprises. This woman of Samaria, she was surprised that Jesus spoke to her. You know, this is the woman at the well that we're talking about. In the ninth verse, she said, speaking to Jesus, she said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And this woman was surprised as Jesus continued to talk to her that he knew all about her. In verse 39, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him," Jesus, "for the saying of the woman which testify, he told me all things that I ever did." You remember back when Jesus was speaking to her and said, "Go get your husband and bring him here." And she says, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You said the right thing." He says, "As a matter of fact, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with right now is not your husband." See, Jesus knew all about her, knew everything about her, and it surprised her what Jesus knew. The disciples were surprised, as I read, that Jesus wasn't hungry. They said unto him, "Master, eat." And Jesus said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." This city of Sychar, they were surprised by the change that had taken place in this woman. She found Jesus precious to her soul, and she witnessed about what had transpired, and it brought others to Christ. And still others says, "Take us to this man." And they went and saw Jesus, and they believed. I want you to think with me for a few moments tonight about our Lord's surprising message here about harvest. And he said that it was ready for harvest. In verse 35, he said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." In my reading, the disciples, they seemed confused. They were confused about harvest time. Their minds were on the physical, while Jesus was focusing on the spiritual. Their mind was not on this woman that Jesus was speaking to. Their mind wasn't on that Jesus was witnessing to this woman. Their mind was not on her spiritual need. They really didn't have any spiritual depth yet. Jesus was still teaching them. And they had not yet learned about this great warfare that was going on, or that was being waged between the physical and the spiritual concerns of life. Their minds were on the physical. Their mind was on the food. Their mind was on missing a meal. Their mind was on a temporary craving for the body. And yet we see and hear the concern of Jesus. Jesus' concern was for spiritual food. Jesus' concern was for the spiritual nourishment that was needed. Jesus' concern was on the will and on the work of God. And Jesus said, "The harvest is now. It's not 4 months from now. He said the harvest is now. And again, I think that speaks to us tonight and to all Christians about the urgency of the task that is before us. And I said this, so many times I think we get distracted from that. And the heart of Jesus was on the harvest of souls. And, you know, men focus their hearts today, I would say, on worldly harvests, you know, the planting of the seed and the reaping of the grain and the investment of the time and the energy and the money that goes into the planting and the harvesting and finally getting to the point of receiving the wages or the gain. But the heart of Jesus was, and the heart of Jesus is still on people. It's upon the planting of the gospel seed that it might reap souls for God. And that needs to be in the front and the foremost, the forefront of our minds and in our hearts as we face each day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it tells us there, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time." Behold now, meaning today. Now is the day of salvation. Brothers and sisters, that should motivate us for the harvest at hand. It tells us specifically that it's now. It's not 4 months from now. It's not in July that's coming up. It's telling us that now, today, is the day of harvest, and it should motivate us. You know, sometimes we don't witness to our family or we don't witness to friends because we think or they have told us that, you know, we're just not ready for that yet. We don't want to listen to that. We're not ready for that. So we excuse ourselves from witnessing to them. You know, we don't do that. But Jesus, I think, makes it clear that around us, continually, there is a harvest waiting to be reaped. It may not be that family member. It may not be that friend that you have. But Jesus is saying all around us are those that are waiting to be reaped. And so brothers and sisters, don't let Jesus find us making excuses. If that person you want to speak to isn't receptive of the Word of God, there's other people that are. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to reach out to everybody. He said in the scripture reading, he said, "Lift up your eyes." Well, what does that mean? It means for us to see people that are around us. Lift up our eyes and see them. You know, we can't see or we can't see around if we don't lift up our eyes and look. And, you know, the things of this earth, the scripture kind of teaches us the things of this earth has to grow strangely dim before that we can look and see. And brothers and sisters, he said, look on the fields. See them ripe for harvest. Ask the Lord to help us to be able to see the harvest, not through our eyes. We got to see the harvest through Jesus' eyes. And when we see the harvest through Jesus' eyes, we'll see how white the fields are and how ready that they are to be harvested. How do we know? How do we know that the spiritual harvest is ready? Jesus said so. That's how we know. Jesus said so. People everywhere around about us, there are people that are around us that have troubled hearts. And, you know, the world is morally adrift in so many different ways. And religiously, the world is bewildered. People are confused. They're troubled. And yes, I'll say there are some that are burdened. They know what's wrong with them. They know what their need is. They just haven't been moved yet by the Spirit of God or encouraged by God's people to do what needs to be done next. And God, through the Holy Spirit, has put in all men, I believe, a thirst for God. You've heard me preach the entire time I've been here that I think there's a void in the heart of all men. And men try to fill that void with everything this world has to offer, but that void can never be filled because the only thing that can fill it is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through a salvation experience. And the world is looking to fill that, and they have a sense of sin, and some of them, I believe, have a conviction. There's an emptiness that longs to be filled, and the Lord needs them. He needs them to receive knowledge, the knowledge that Jesus came to the earth. And he came to the earth with a purpose. He came claiming to be the Savior of the world, the very Son of God. And that's where you and I come in, brothers and sisters. We are to be reapers. We're needed for the harvest. Verse 36 of my reading, Jesus said, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he and the sower and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Ask anyone who plants a garden how they feel when that harvest comes in. I believe Brother Jimmy would tell me and tell all of you, there is a joy, isn't there, brother? There is a joy of working in that garden or in that field. There is a joy when the abundant harvest comes in, when we're gathering the blessings of the fruits of our labor. There's a joy there. And in the teaching of God's Word, is it's the same thing with a spiritual harvest. I can't describe to you tonight the joy that fills my heart when a lost person responds to the gospel message and finds salvation. I can't tell you the joy that I have in my heart when I witness it in the house of the Lord, or when I receive a phone call like little Stella's not too long ago when she called to tell me about being saved. There is a joy that just comes over me. There's a joy that comes in my heart when I hear one of our sister churches that tell of somebody being saved. And there's just a great joy when a lost soul responds to the message of God and finds salvation. And we've been blessed. We've been blessed with at least five that I can think of off the top of my head that have been saved this year. I would ask you, brothers and sisters, is that a good harvest? Well, yeah, I think that's so far that's a good harvest. But Jesus said there was more that are ready to be harvested. And so we've got a great responsibility. It's sad that too many don't expect a harvest today. I wonder this morning, did you come today expecting to see somebody saved in either the service this morning or in the service tonight? Did we come expecting the Lord to save? Did it cross our minds? Was it in our heart? Did you pray for it that somebody would be saved today? You know, too many people, I think, are just holding back until Jesus comes. You know, we tell ourselves that the Bible says, well, the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away, that people aren't going to be interested in being saved, and people aren't going to be interested in the Word of God. So, you know, there's no need to be witnessing. There's very little soul winning that's going around. But perhaps that's why in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, Jesus says, the harvest truly is great. But you know what he said there. He said, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, in the news, we're constantly hearing about the unemployment rate. We're constantly hearing about how many people are out of a job. And I know that's true. Some of it is because people can't find work, and some of it's because people aren't willing to work. But, you know, I thought about it in relationship to the Christian life. And brothers and sisters, in Christian service, there is no unemployment. There is no unemployment in Christian service. And God has enough work for every single child of God. And we're not to sit back and watch others work. We're to look for ways that we can help with the harvest. And, you know, there are so many different ways. It might be just inviting somebody to come to a church service. It might be just a simple word to several of our young people in the church that, as far as I know, they're not saved. Every one of them that came by and on the way out from church this morning, I told every one of them, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. They know what I meant. I didn't have to say I'm praying for you to be saved. I believe they knew what I was saying, that I was praying for their soul. And, you know, we just got to pray for laborers. And we got to become laborers. We got to ask ourselves, what am I doing in God's great harvest? I'm going to ask myself that. What am I doing in God's great harvest? And every child of God needs to ask himself the same question. In my reading tonight, did you notice the rewards that were promised to reapers in the harvest? It said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. Or in other words, payment is what it's saying here. In what form? What form is the payment? Well, verse 36 described the wages received now as rejoicing. Rejoicing. How that blesses me. As I said a moment ago, I rejoice at souls being saved. I rejoice. I don't know about you, and people may not even think about it, but I was blessed by Brother Justin testifying after the service this morning with, I guess, his girlfriend that was sitting right next to him. I don't know what her situation is, saved, unsaved. She might be saved. I don't know. But it didn't hinder him from standing up and testifying, and it was a wonderful testimony. We need more of our young people standing up for the Lord and testifying and being a good example and a witness during the week as they're working. And, you know, God uses, He'll use all of us, and we rejoice in that now. Over in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, it tells us there's going to be wages later. So now we get to rejoice. That's payment for laboring for the Lord. But Jesus said in that 12th verse, He said, "And behold, I come quickly." And then what did He say? "My reward is with me. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." These wages surpass any that are now known, I think. These are wages of eternal value. You ever think about what our greatest reward will be? Perhaps it's the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. The words there said, "His Lord said unto him, Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I know heaven's going to be wonderful. I know that what a great reward that's going to be able to enjoy all the things that we're expecting in heaven. But I don't know. Maybe the greatest reward will be the Lord saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my message for tonight. When is harvest time? Today. Right now is harvest time. My text said again, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." You know, we've heard it our whole lives that time is short, haven't we? I've heard all my life, time is short. The Lord's coming back. I've heard my whole life. It's closer today than it was yesterday. And that still remains true. Every day that we have is one day more that God's given us, but we're one day closer to the coming of the Lord. And if that is true, and I believe it is true, then I think the message of God's word is that we need to get busy in the harvest without further delay. And I'll close with just by saying this. Just think about the little souls that we have right here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. Think about Sadie. And think about Callie. And think about Mason. And think about Creed. And, you know, think about, you know, Camille. I don't know where she's at. But and the list can go on and on of Lauren, Emma, Rory. You know, I could just keep going with names of kids that, by all common standards, many of them are already at the age of accountability. We hear people testify all the time what age they were at that they got saved, 9 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old. And we've got many kids that are that age or older. And, you know, we need to be concerned about their souls. And I know it's not just those in our church. Don't misunderstand me. Every one of us have family members, grandchildren, that we long to see saved. And those are important too. But I always come back to, you know, we're limited to our world. You know, I want to see my grandkids saved when they reach the age of accountability, but I'm away from them. I get very little exposure to them to be able to encourage them in the Lord for what time I get to spend with them. But I'm trusting that God will put people in their pathway, the church that they're attending, and other good brothers and sisters that will have a concern for their soul there, that will speak to them and tell them on their way out, I'm praying for you. And I know others of you have got grandkids and kids away from here. But we can have an impact, and we can reach the ones that are here. And God's been good to us this year. He's blessed us with several souls saved and several additions to the church. But the harvest is still white. There's still more that can come to the Lord. And I pray that we'll be concerned about them and pray for them. That's my message. Word on anyone's heart before we bring our service to a close tonight.